Namgya Kona, the podcast inspiring entrepreneurs in South Africa. Because if it's going to be, it's up to me.
Sesibuyile bangani, sesibuyile kuNamgya Kona, the podcast where we bring you young, inspiring trailblazers to inspire us on how we can remember that if our dreams are going to be, it's only up to me. Today, we have a guest that has been on a journey of tremendous accolades, I think, and still, you know, on that continuous journey, but it hasn't been many years. You know, this is a young achiever who we're very excited to share with you and connect with today. And her name is Katleho Babalo Makubu, which I will introduce to you in a minute. But before I do, I want to remind you again, follow on social media if you're inspired at any point. Feel free to express, comment on the posts below, and we will try and get back to you. We always love hearing from you. And once again, welcome to the most inspiring podcast on the internet for young learners in South Africa. Because if it's going to be, it's up to me. And the person who's showing us that today is Babalo. Babalo, welcome. Thank you for joining us. So great to chat.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to today's session.
Amazing. And yourself as well, you know, an amazing journey that you've been on. You are now actuarial or, a consulting actuary at Ernst & Young Global, as well as a manager there at the Ernst & Young Global Consultancy. But more so, you've been recognized, by the CEO Global's Pan-African Award as the most influential women, and also the Youth and Youth Service and Excellence Award was given to you by the Gauteng Premier. You're one of the inspiring 50 in South Africa as the top 100 women in STEM, and as well as in your matric year, top 4 in the Free State, which I don't know how that's done, but we need to chat about that because some of us are writing exams or just finished writing our exams very soon. So, but this year as well, a TEDx speaker and recently named by Mail and Guardian top 200 young South Africans. Katleho Babalo Makubu, please tell us, what is it that drives you on this journey? What is it that drives you to be who you are today?
I think thanks for that nice introduction. Personally, a bit of background about me. I come from Kroonstad, which is a small town in the Free State, and I think personally for me, growing up, I've always looked up to my mother, like all the other young females as well as males that stay in the location. So I think for me, growing up, I saw my mother do a lot with what she had. And I think in terms of my journey, I've been quite fortunate that I've had a lot of mentors, a lot of doors that opened up, given that I was quite dedicated in terms of my school, in terms of my education, which allowed me to be able to get a bursary into university, which allowed me to do well in school. And I think for me, growing up and reflecting on my childhood, I always looked back and said, what if there was this role model that looked like me, that did all these amazing things? But then imagine if I knew them while I was still in primary or still in high school. That will be quite tremendous in terms of a young female's mind to say that, oh, wow, if she can do all these things, that means that I need to start putting in the work. I need to start doing the effort now so that by the time I get to matric or whatever it may be, you're already equipped with all the skill sets that you need to be able to take it forward or to pave it forward, however it may be. Because I think for me, another issue that I've noticed is also with regards to math literacy. Just because you have the option to take mass literacy doesn't necessarily mean that you need to take it. Because With that, it might seem as if it's a easier option now. By the time you get to matric, you pass, you have all these nice levels. But then once you start looking into varsity, what are my options? That's only when you realize that you've actually limited your future just by that one choice or that one decision that you made 3 years ago.
Amazing thoughts there. And I think inspiring as well to know that from a young age, you were dedicated and you were inspired at home, of course, but something drove you to be dedicated, and that resulted, you know, in massive opportunities and also for you to be able to thrive wherever it is that you went. As a young person, you know, looking at your peers, your friends around you that you're thinking of now, back then, you know, not everyone may have been as dedicated. Not everyone may have been inspired, and certainly not at a very young age does someone connect and want to do well. For you, what is it then that made you say, "I want to do well. I want to be dedicated"? Did you think of it as it would bring opportunity in future, or you know, what was the thinking in your young mind at the time?
I think for me, in terms of that, I would say that I'm quite competitive. And I think I also don't like necessarily hearing that I can't or having a no as an answer. So in terms of that, it would most probably come to a point where when I did something and most probably I did it wrong or wasn't necessarily good at it, I would want to put in the work and the effort. And I think also there's a bit of a blessing and a curse as well, that in terms of me, I always had this strategic mindset, like you're always talking about entrepreneurship, education, employment for the future. And with the decisions that you make, I feel like we all need to be strategic. Hence the example that I use, that you can take Maslet today, but then in 3 years' time, that is when the impact is going to hit you. So I think for me, I had that sense of dedication and a mindset to say that if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right. It might be painful at first when you get something wrong, but then it's all that dedication. I think resilience is also most probably something that I've been blessed with as well, to say that if you're going to get it wrong, you do it again, you try it again, and you always ask questions. And I think also another one for me is that I wasn't necessarily afraid of being wrong. So I think that is something that most probably a lot of us need when we're younger. We're so afraid of being wrong that we fall into a lot of peer pressures, we fall into a lot of things that we don't necessarily feel comfortable about, but we still do it because we don't want to stand out from everybody else. So I think those are the things that I've been fortunate about, that strategic mindset, as well as a bit of resilience, and also not being afraid of being wrong as well.
Beautiful thoughts there. I want to go more into you know, resilience and the types of skills that you think are important. But what really fascinates me is how a 16-year-old, 15-year-old, however old you were at the time, is not afraid of being wrong. I've never met many 15-year-olds like that, and certainly I wasn't one. You know, being cool is the thing. We want to be understood by our friends. We want to be with the crowd that connects with us. We want to have the latest gadgets, you know, look like the latest look, have the latest look, the latest styles that connect with people. But for you, you are already connected to yourself, and at least you were trying to express yourself and you weren't scared to be wrong. Is that correct? If I say it like that, it was, you know, you were connected to yourself. And also, where did that come from? You know, how do you think you developed that mindset?
I think for me personally, it most probably came from my parents, because I think in terms of them, I don't necessarily think that I was a child that fit in anyway. So if you're not going to fit in, might as well like stand out as much as you can. And I think I played a lot of sports. I did some public speaking. I think on education, I just smashed it. And it came from most probably a point where if you're not going to fit in anyway, might as well do the best that you can with the skill set that you have. And I think that is the one thing that my parents taught me, that if you're going to do something, don't do it half-heartedly. You need to go in there, give it your best shot, because at the end of the day, you're going to be responsible for you. In the future, I think also with my parents, I always say that we might not live forever. So make sure that whatever you do, whatever decisions that you take, you're doing it for you and not necessarily for us or anyone else for that matter. So I think
very powerful thoughts from my there. Parents.
Very powerful, but also uncomfortable talks to have with your child to make them aware that at the end of the day, you only have you. At the end of the day, you're responsible for your own happiness. And as much as you have your parents, as much as you have your friends, at the end of the day, you are the one that is responsible when your last days on earth come. You're the one who's going to be responsible to say, this is how I lived my life. These are the talents that I've been given. This is how I have multiplied what I've been given. And I've lived a life that I can be proud of.
That's great. And you really took that inspiration in that conversation, not to make you sad, but to actually inspire you. And we're being inspired as well as we hear that. And then I want to go into those points around the skills, the resilience, the kind of characteristics that you developed and saw as important on your journey of being dedicated. You know, like you were saying, studying, taking part in extramural activities like sports, arts and culture activities. That's a tight schedule. It's a hectic schedule. And I'm sure now your schedule is 10 times, 100 times more tight. And there's certain things that you have developed in your journey. Maybe when you reflect from when you were young, what are those things that, you know, you think were skills, including knowledge, like the decisions you made on what to study, what to focus on, like the example on MathsLit, that you are applying now and how you're applying those in order to thrive in the work that you're doing?
That's an interesting one. I'm not sure, actually, because I feel like in terms of me, most probably every stage of our lives, it's a bit difficult. But I think for me, the one thing that I can say, most probably I got to a point where most probably I was addicted to success. I was addicted to achieving. And I think what helped is that there's not necessarily pressure from my parents coming there. You need to study, you need to do this, you need to do this. So I think I had the freedom to do whatever I wanted, whatever I enjoyed. I had the freedom to put in as much energy and as much passion into things that made me happy. And I think also with that, like the more I did it, I think the better I became in terms of studying or sports or whatever it may be. And I think the more that I enjoyed it. So I think that is most probably something that I've taken with me throughout the years to say that, okay, at first you might not necessarily be good at it. And the more effort you put in, the more work you put in, it becomes a bit better or a bit easier. And I think knowing that your parents are there to support regardless of what you're doing, that is quite key and fundamental to what I've done and mostly to what I still do today in terms of like the decisions that I make. I think we did touch on, I'm not necessarily afraid of being wrong. And that helps quite a lot because we all make mistakes at the end of the day, and not being in that mindset or stuck in, I'm not going to take a leap of faith or I'm not necessarily going to do something that I'm afraid of, then it helps. It helps quite a lot because I feel like we all live in quite a lot of fear, especially when you think of failure. And I think the people that I surround myself with also have that mindset to say that if you don't necessarily want to do something, actually ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Or utsaban. I think that's also something that I keep at the back of my mind. If I don't want to do something, what is it that I'm really afraid of? And then just have that conversation with myself, have that conversation with other people, ask other people that have been through it in terms of how have you done it? How have you succeeded? Any tips or advice that you can give me? And I feel that that helps quite a lot.
To be scared of anything. There's no reason to be scared on your journey to your dreams. Mm-hmm. And I really love what you're saying there, because you started off saying, you know, even if, you know, you are inspired to be dedicated in order to go out there and take on challenges to make the most of your life. And And at first, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult, and things won't go well. But, and so that's what was motivating you. And then later, as you know, you improve and success, the taste of success starts to become real. That motivates you even more. And so you ended then off in this, you know, reinforcing cycle, almost like a tornado of success and fear and worries and resilience, you know, all wrapped up into one. And for you today, when you are looking at your ongoing work and your everyday, you know, things that are challenges for you, and things that are worrying for you, and those tips that you get from people when you are, you know, asking yourself, "Kitabaingi, what is it that I'm scared of?" And you're getting advice. What would you say are some of the key things on your mind today on the types of skills that young people should be building in order to thrive in the 21st century?
I think personally for me, just to start off with a bit of a story, and I think most probably the biggest hurdle for me was also when I moved jobs, because I think I had that old school mindset that if you start a job, you're going to be here for the next 40, next 60 years. So I think that was me moving jobs was one of those things where like I was really, really super afraid. And it comes from the fact that I'm not necessarily sure what I'm getting myself into or what I'm going into. And I think with that, the biggest nuggets that I got out of that, or the biggest inspiration that I got out of that is, I think, as I mentioned, that you'll always be wrong, you'll always make mistakes, and it's all about growing, it's all about developing. And I think for me, in terms of the mindset that I realized, is that also sometimes at the end of the day, you need to realize it's not really about you, it's not just about you. There are so many young girls that over the years have followed my journey. I might not know them. I might not have met them before. But then I think over the years, they see all the things that I have done. They see all the things that I do. And I think through that, they become inspired. And I think it also creates that ripple effect that gives me the confidence to say that, okay, we have come this far. There's someone else who's depending on me to open the door so that they can know that they're worthy, that their dreams are valid. And I think for me, that's what also gives me that bit of inspiration to keep on going, to most probably look for bigger goals that I'd never necessarily thought were possible, and actually jump head first into it and make sure that I give it my best. Because even if you fail, I think at the end of the day, if you try, that is the best that you can do, because it's much better than someone else who didn't even try, because you never know where you're going to end up.
That's amazing, and I'll be very keen to hear, you know, what actually prompted you to make that change when you were changing jobs, and even though you were coming from a mindset of I'm gonna be here for the rest of my life, but something prompted you to change, something prompted you to challenge your own worldviews, and then what happened after that? You know, once you got over that, you know, how was that experience like for you?
I think all of this started because I was in my fourth year of working. I think I was always that person that put up their hand. If you want to do this, I'm the one who's there. Yes, I'll do it. So I think from there, I ended up joining the BITS Business School. So I was one of the delegates there for the Women in Leadership program. So imagine here, you have all these heads of departments, you have CEOs in a room, and there was still a junior underwriter. And I think in terms of that, the conversations that we had there were quite different to conversations that you have with your peers. Because I think at the end of the day, it's all about mindset. It's all about being strategic. And as we went through the course, there was a lot of cohorts that we went through. It's all about negotiation, being authentic. We covered a lot of content on where to next. So what is your next? So I think at that point, it got me thinking to think, okay, where to next? Where am I going next? Is this where I'm going to be for for the rest of my life. And I think we, during that journey, we got to a point where at my previous company, they were busy restructuring. And I think for me personally, I already had this manual to say that where to next, where am I going next? And I think for me at that stage, I was, for me, I'm going into a leadership position. I think in terms of my characteristics and what I'm able to achieve and the skill sets that I've learned, I'm going into a bigger or greater role. So imagine now going through a restructure and I'm thinking, this is great, an opportunity to actually come out of my comfort zone, start applying to other companies, see what is out there. And all these interviews, all these conversations that you have, start preparing. And I think also like with interviews, this is something that they also want to know. They always ask, okay, what is your five-year goal? And what are you actually doing today to be able to achieve that five-year goal? So for me, it was a matter of breaking 5 years into yearly goals, into monthly goals. And based on that, being able to put myself in the mindset to say that, what do I need to do today to make sure that if I do get that management role that I'm thinking about or that leadership role that I'm thinking about, how do I equip myself today to make sure that that I'm able to make it? Hence, started focusing on my exams as well, attending all these leadership courses. I think at that point, I got myself a couple of mentors, life coaches as well, which is quite fundamental. And I think that is what a lot of people are missing, that you're not going to make it by yourself if you don't have people that have walked the path, so that they can actually let you know that this is what I've done, this is my journey. And then you take all these stories and figure out what's going to work for you. So I feel like for me, it wasn't necessarily a conscious choice to say, like, okay, thank you so much. Handshake, I'm leaving. And I think that is why it was so scared, because in my mind, I was used to being the employee. And that shift, I think it's something that that we all need. And whether it's at the workplace or running your own company, you need to be able to have that shift mindset from being just an employee to becoming the manager, to becoming the CEO. And with becoming the manager or the CEO, it's really just a mindset to say, how are we going to be innovative? How are we going to be solving the problems that that the company is faced with, and not just coming to work, doing your 9 to 5 and you're done and you go home and you get paid? So I think that's also quite
fantastic thoughts there, and can absolutely see how, you know, the work you're doing now and how that point in time and that change made you more entrepreneurial. I think you were already entrepreneurial, you know, in many aspects, and it makes sense on, as a young person today, listening to what you're saying, I should be thinking on how I can think like a CEO. I love this. Mm-hmm. This is going to be our motto today. How do we think like a CEO? Because that's what you're sharing with us on goal setting. You're sharing with us on investing in yourself, going to the classes, you know, and extra leadership courses. Those things aren't easy, to work on yourself and invest in yourself. And it's extra time, it's extra work, but that's how a CEO thinks. And I want to touch more on these skills that, you know, maybe some of the things that came out from your life coach experience, or some of the things that came out from the leadership courses, or even some of the things that you are working on now on yourself. You know, what are the things that you've identified now or have identified in that self-investment process that you are working on now that you feel are important in order to go to your next?
I feel like in terms of that, as you mentioned, you need to invest in yourself. And I think the best way to invest in yourself is either getting a mentor, someone who's been through that road that you want to go through. Reading is also super important, because someone went through it and they put it in a book. You don't necessarily have to suffer. And I feel like there's so many books on various topics. And I think something that I have most probably taken to heart is, I think, a phrase that says that if you know your why, you can indefinitely endure anyhow. Because once you are in that CEO mindset, as you mentioned, there is going to be a lot of focus, a lot of dedication. But then some things that most people don't tell you is that there's going to be a lot of sacrifices. So with this, there's going to be definitely a lot of sacrifices that no one really tells you about. You just see, I think also, and not necessarily with just entrepreneurship or corporate people, also with your celebrities as well. We see the final picture, but we don't know what happens behind closed doors. We don't know the late nights that they've put in. We don't know the sacrifices that they have to make in terms of spending time with their friends and their families. And I feel like this is what mentors, what books, and what experience gives you to say that if this is what you want, know that these are the things that you would need to sacrifice. And you would need to ask yourself, am I okay with these sacrifices that I have to make, the late night studying, being in the library while everybody else is on holiday? And once you understand that, once you understand, I am doing all these things because I want to be my own boss, or I want to be the best in terms of whatever profession that someone goes into. Once you understand that, then it's much more easier to be able to raise all these things with your friends, with your family, to say that, okay, during the week, I'm not available. And they would understand. But then it's a matter of on weekends, we can have rides, we can do whatever we need to do, and to have that support structure as well, and to be able to voice what you actually need. And communication is also really, really super important to make sure that the people around you can support you in terms of what you need, if you can let them know what it is that that you actually need.
That's fantastic. And what I really love about what you're saying, again, is that you're not saying everyone has to be a CEO. You're saying you have to ask yourself, what is it that you want and why are you doing this? For you, one of those is the fact that there aren't many young ladies, young Black ladies in succeeding and thriving in the space that you are pioneering. And you could inspire other young people around the world in the country. And for you, that's a strong why that you mentioned. And so you're saying you don't have to be a CEO, but have the mindset of a CEO so that you can do what you want to do and your purpose, your why, with a thriving and prosperous set of tools and success. And so I want to reflect on 16-year-old. This is you know our closing question. To reflect on 16-year-old Babalo, when wherever she was in Kroonstad, and she, doesn't know what she wants to do. You know, she's dedicated, and she wants to build a mindset of a CEO. What would you say to Babalo about building a mindset of a CEO? What should be the things that she should be doing in her environment today? Namhlanje, not tomorrow, hi hausane, but today, what can she start with to start building that mindset of a CEO?
I think Maswali was the first thing would be like she needs to understand Babalo Kima, who is Babalo? When you're sitting there by yourself, you need to understand, who am I? What am I good at? What is it that I want to achieve? And then from there, I think you also need to understand your circumstances in terms of, where am I starting? What resources are available to my disposal? What can I do? What can't I do? I think that is also something that you need to understand. And then from there, she needs to decide, but then where do I see myself in the next 3 years or the next 5 years? And as we mentioned, what can I start doing today to be able to get there? So in the next 3 or 5 years, Maswali, she's thinking, I need to finish high school. I need to get into varsity. What course do I actually want to do? And I think also with that, it comes from being equipping yourself with the knowledge that you need to be able to see, okay, in the next 3 or 5 years, this is what I want to do, why I want to do it, and what do I need to do today to be able to get it. And it might not necessarily be that easy in terms of you wake up one day, you find your passion and your purpose. It comes from talking to people comes from reading books. It comes from using your social media to follow people with influence and not just people that are influencing you to be able to take nice pictures. I think in terms of social media, it's quite powerful in terms of the podcast that you're following, the people that you're following. There's a lot of inspiration that comes from social media. It all depends who you are following and what the intention is at the end of the day. And I think with that, you're able to decide, this is what I want to do. And I think also sticking to it is really important. I think I've read somewhere that the mindset of successful people is that they make a decision and they stick to their decision. And that helps because you won't necessarily say that at the end of my high school career, I'm going to go study in, for example, Bloemfontein, I'm going to go study actuarial science. This is what I'm going to do. You ask yourself, okay, based on the requirements, this is what I need for maths, this is what I need for science or for business or whatever not the case may be. What does it mean for you on a daily basis? It means that I need to study. When I come home from school, I need to practice. I need to mark myself. I need to make sure that I understand calculus or whatever it is that you're doing. And being able to break that goal into like daily goals or hourly goals, that is really quite essential. I think that is most of the things that I've learned in most of the books that I've learned. Like if you know what you're passionate about, what your purpose is, it's much easier to be dedicated and remove all these various distractions that come along the way. And hence also that comes with knowing what your situation is. If you can't necessarily afford to be on the internet, there's always libraries. I think for me, I spent a lot of my time when I was still at home at the libraries because we didn't have internet at home. And I think in terms of myself, when it was just a matter of using it to call my parents if I'm at school late. So those are the things that you need to take into account. You need to know yourself, you need to know your environment. And then based on that, where do you see yourself and what resources can you pull in to be able to make sure that it happens? And I think also you mentioned something that's quite important. We all don't have to be CEOs. It's just a matter of knowing myself, knowing my talents, and then working towards that idea or that image that I'm trying to build for myself. So it's important to remove those distractions and know what it is that you want. And I think also with that, it also comes from, you don't always have to be right. Like you can, I think for me, I've always wanted to be an accountant. And I think in my matric year, that's when I found out about actuarial science and realized actually like I might have built myself up for this route, but then there's another one that I'm more passionate about. And in terms of that, I think in my matric year, that's when I made the decision that, oh, actually, accounting is not necessarily for me. Actuarial science is for me. But then the fact that I've already built the foundation to be able to be in a position where I can make choices like that, that is quite fundamental.
You are telling us a story, Uriah. How san we should ask ourselves who we are, where we are. You know, we can't do everything. We're all on different journeys, different circumstances. What can we do with what we have, and where do we want to go? And then we start today on the things that we need to do to get us there. But if we never ask ourselves that question, then there may never be a story of how you're going to do it. And if it is going to happen, you know, it's really going to be up to you at the end of the day. So thank you so much for sharing the thoughts. I think very, you know, inspiring and many, many powerful things there for us to be taking notes on. If there was an exam for this one, I don't know. I think it would be great to take it over and over again. So thanks so much for giving us those pointers and those shout outs. Let's hope that you will continue to thrive, and we hope to keep in touch and wishing you much more success and abundance.
Well, thank you so much.
Fantastic. I Kelly Nivile Buffet Tuguti. It all starts with you. It all starts with who you are. Baba Lokimang Buntu Ubani. Who am I? And that person is going to answer you exactly how your dreams will come true. So if you were inspired today, please comment down below. Let us know what were the things that really touched you. What questions do you have? We'll try and make sure that our guest gets to them, or at least that you do get an answer, because we love to hear from you. We want to get in touch with you and hope that these conversations will also be the spark, just like how many of our guests had their sparks when they were younger. Until next time, thank you again from me, your host, to Nam Ngiyakhona. If it's going to be, it's up to me, and we will see you next time.
Stay inspired and be entrepreneurial. Follow us on social media and find us on WhatsApp. Nam Ngiyakhona.